Good evening and welcome to WDIY and the program on every Main Street. This program takes a deeper look into the greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce and all of its affiliates. I'm Greg Caponia, and today we welcome Mike Gibson, the Business Development Director of Andre Hewitt, and Michelle Griffin-Young, the EVP of Governmental and External Affairs at the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Greg. Good to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here today. Let's jump right into the program. We're talking about, really we're going to look at five subcommittees, energy and environment, healthcare, manufacturing, tax and regulation, transportation. We were talking a little bit earlier and started chatting about wage increases and $15 minimums and things like that. Good place to start?
Very good place to start. Before we do that, if you don't mind, maybe we can give you some quick background on Public Policy Committee.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Michelle.
The Public Policy Committee at the Chamber has been active for about 15 years. And the neat thing was when it was created, it was very important to the membership that we utilize every town, every borough in the Greater Lehigh Valley. All those folks have a presence. And those people have representatives in each community who vote on these issues. So when we're talking about wage increases, when we're talking about health care, whatever the subject matter, the voice of the chamber comes from our individual communities.
And the voice of the people.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why minimum wage is of great concern to the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber's public policy. There's a lot of legislation right now to take the current $7.25 an hour minimum wage up to $15 an hour. And that's obviously going to have some immediate and drastic impacts on local businesses, small and mid-sized businesses that can't pass that immediate increase on through revenues and pricing of their programs. Additionally, where it really affects is the not-for-profit businesses and organizations that are going to have to make some pretty hard decisions on whether to cut programs or to remove staff and able to keep themselves afloat. As we talk at public policy, it even has some trickle-down by raising the wage to $15 an hour. Everybody that had previously been at $7.25 is going to see an immediate increase in revenue. Now, that has some impact to senior citizens. It has some impacts to low-income families who rely on government assistance programs because of a particular wage earning. So for low-income families, the tough thing there is that their daycare may be affected. They will no longer receive any sort of government assistance because of the new income increase, additional food stamp benefits. And there's a trickle-down effect by taking, doubling someone's income so quickly that has not been, I think, identified by our legislators.
So what that means to our listener is that if your income doubles, there may be programs that you're getting currently that you will no longer qualify?
Absolutely. Yeah, just keep in mind the not-for-profits that will now have to perhaps cut a summer program that someone's been sending their children to because they can't afford to pay staff for that program any longer. Now that family's got to find an alternative placement for children during the summer months or after school care.
Let's say this happens. Let's say there's a $15 minimum wage. Where can people go to find out what the effect will be on them? Of course, initially, everybody will say, wow, this is terrific. I'm making twice as much money. Where do they go find out if they're going to end up paying more for other services that they might be receiving?
Well, that's really difficult because in Pennsylvania, we've been at $7.25 for a long time. Where they can look is they can look to states or individual cities such as Seattle, California. New Jersey has recently increased it's a stepped minimum wage increase, so they can get research from any of those locations and just go online and see where there's been increases in minimum wage over the last year or two and the impact it's had. I can tell you nationally, you've got large corporations have made adjustments to remove staff and replace them with either kiosks or self-service. If they want to see the impacts, if they look at their Walmarts, their giant food stores, and see the number of self-serve cashiers versus a live cashier, corporations are looking at cutting staff because of the increased cost. It's one of the few remaining places that businesses have to control costs to still remain profitable.
And I think also to your point, Greg, where people can go, legislative offices are a great help to people. And I think they really don't think about them that way. Why would I need to go to my senator, state house, congresswoman's office? And the fact is that they are in touch with all of those areas that could be affecting the people's services that you spoke about, health and human services, social security. They can let the people know, yes, now you're too qualified by making more than the $7.25 an hour. If I could just make one more point, and
sure.
I think a lot of members, including Mike, have put a ton of time into a position that the chamber has established on minimum wage. And the key to it is, let's come up with a rational, well-planned system to create a minimum wage. Our membership decided that, yes, they agree $7.25 is too low right now in the Lehigh Valley. And they would agree to go up to $9.50 an hour with a big if. The if is, we need a process to determine what the next one is. Throwing out these numbers like, oh, it should be 15. Where did that come from? Businesses need to be able to plan. So what they want to see is a tie to the minimum wage with the Social Security measurement, which is called the CPIW. And then it would be a cap of 3% per year. But if the CPIW goes down in a year, people would not lose any money. They would maintain that current minimum wage. And the second piece is, lots of folks raise the question, maybe $9.50 is right for the Lehigh Valley, but is that right for Center City, Philadelphia? Probably not. Mm-hmm. So it needs to have a geographic base to it as well.
Yeah.
I never really took a look at this in the terms that you're speaking. Who doesn't want to make more money? When you first look at it, whatever the number is, who wouldn't want to make more money? But what are the repercussions?
Yeah, there are many. And there's also, I think, a large misperception in the business industry that we all try to pay the $7.25. That's not the case. As Michelle mentioned, the Public Policy Committee put a lot of research into the determination of what we think is a fair and reasonable starting point at $9.50 an hour. That takes into account a 3% increase that Michelle discussed earlier from the last time that minimum wage was changed to $7.25. So if statistically you took it from that point forward to today, the cost would be $9.50 and would systematically rise, allowing business to see some predictable increases. And still for workers to now have the comfort and the security of knowing they're going to see at least a minimum increase to that wage. The number of workers, and this is derived from Pennsylvania Labor and Industry, that receive $7.25 is a very, very, very small percentage of the overall working population in Pennsylvania. So most businesses, particularly in this economic climate today, Greg, have to pay much higher than $7.25 to get qualified personnel.
How did you arrive at $9.25?
And that's the number. So 10 years ago this summer, July 24th, was when the minimum wage was moved to $7.25 from $7.15 in the state of Pennsylvania. So that calculated number that we were talking about of the process with the CPIW is what the committee utilized in order to get to the $9.50 number now. I just want to make one other point, though, with that, because that does not include tipped wages or seasonal workers. Many people don't realize that waitresses, well, that's not the correct term, servers these days, really,
sure.
And both men and women out there are making a lot more than $15 an hour in many places and many hours of their jobs, maybe not every hour. They don't want to be set at $15 an hour because they will lose money in that case. So we do not want to see it on tip wages. We also don't want to see the raise on seasonal workers. So many of them are our young people that just need a chance to get out there and work. They're seasonal. They're summertime, just like probably all of you and I did, whether it's at Blue Mountain up in Carbon County and helping out up there in the summer or many of our locations.
Or Dorney Park.
Dorney Park is perfect.
Highly reliant on seasonal workers.
I always like our chamber people to reiterate the fact that we need technical students. We need students who know how to use their hands and their brains to make things. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Sure. And Mike actually ran the ABC for a while, the Associated Builders and Contractors, so he has a lot to say on it. I will say, if you are a listener and you are in the business of manufacturing, or maybe it's tooling, maybe it is a car shop that you fix things. Things have gotten so complicated today that I know and I hear from our members, they want to make sure that even in the service area, students are ready. So we have a council for that that is working with all the schools and the Workforce Investment Board to move that forward.
And in our industry, construction, we've been challenged for many decades in a declining number of technical employees and workforce. So we started a program, and ABC, Associated Builders and Contractors, continued it to train young students in the technical and vocational schools and a post-secondary apprenticeship program to place reassigned workers into the construction fields. But back to the conversation we had about the Public Policy Committee, one aspect of the discussion with minimum wage was to encourage the continuation of federal and state monies into workforce redevelopment. Because really the thing we want to do is we want to move people out of minimum wage roles and into higher skilled, higher paid, better advancement roles within manufacturing, construction, and other technical trades. So it's a challenge. I would encourage parents to take their students and take a visit to the open houses at the local technical and vocational schools. Work with the Workforce Investment Board. They do some wonderful summer programs to get children interested in the technical trades. It is a fabulous opportunity. There are some wonderful programs through SkillsUSA as well as Manufacturer Resource Center to get kids involved in these, as well as adults. One of the challenges of raising minimum wage is it doesn't necessarily encourage people to go look for higher skilled, better advancement careers.
Give me some help on how to find SkillsUSA.
SkillsUSA is a local and national organization. They can be reached at skillsusa.org is their website. The local chapter is housed within the Workforce Investment Board's building on Union Boulevard. They can go and meet with the staff there. They also can be contacted through vocational technical schools. If any of the parents have students and children in the schools, they can just go to the office and ask to meet with a SkillsUSA representative within the school.
Sounds like a terrific way to avoid student debt.
And I think it's also important that we're not just talking about students. We are talking about our future,
yes.
And that is so important. But there are a lot of people out there who need upskilling. They're at a certain place. They've worked in the factory for a long, long time, but they need more classes to learn how to get up to speed, or people that are changing occupations at a later age. The Workforce Board is excellent at that. There is government money out there. Why not use it in the Lehigh Valley?
Got it.
Where Nancy Dishonette has it to help people.
Yes,
got it. You're listening to On Every Main Street. I'm Greg Caponia. When we come back, we will talk about other issues in public policy.
This is Neil Heaver, Operations Director and co-founder of WDIY, asking you to become a member today of WDIY by calling 610-758-8810 or going securely online to WDIY.org. We're looking for new members, renewing members, and if you're already a member, consider an extra gift. Your donation to WDIY will help keep the station strong and also benefit Second Harvest Food Bank. For more details, visit our website, WDIY.org, and thank you.
Welcome back to On Every Main Street. I'm Greg Caponi, and today we have Mike Gibson, the Business Development Director of Andra Hewitt, and Michelle Griffin-Young, the EVP of Governmental and External Affairs of the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce. Let's jump into more public policy. How about transportation?
Wow. Transportation. Thank you for bringing that up, Greg, because we are really in a crisis right now. The chamber took a position a few years back and said we are really, really at a point where business and businesses growing is dependent upon a solid infrastructure system. And that includes many things. That includes sewers, that includes broadband. But today, if we could specifically focus on roads and bridges, that's where we're really having troubles. And people don't realize how much it actually costs these days to be able to fix a bridge. I know that many people out there, not everyone, believe that there's a lot of waste in government. And there may be. I certainly don't know the answer to that. What I do know is we get our transportation funding through the gas tax. That tax is going down every year. We have more fuel-efficient cars, and that is really taking away from how much gas we're utilizing. There's a big conversation right now going on about how should we be defining what individuals are paying toward the transportation fund. And, you know, one of the things, I'd be curious to see what your listeners have to say about it, is called the VMT, Vehicle Miles Traveled. The thought is, should we be keeping track of how far the distance that cars are driving, so that if you have an electric vehicle, you're not paying into the system, but you're using the roads, you're crossing the bridges, right? So, and then there are different thoughts on that. And some people think it's a great idea. Some people don't think it's a great idea. But right now, the Lehigh Valley, which is the fastest growing area in the entire state of Pennsylvania, is losing, or seeing a reduction is the specific language, $380 million for our bridges and roads. And we, as the Chamber of Commerce, are advocating to everyone, to our legislators, we need to see more money coming to the Lehigh Valley, not less money. We're growing faster than every area in the state.
So to summarize, we're burning less gas, but we're getting less money.
That's right.
Yeah, and if I could just add to what Michelle said, I mean, the difficulty there is Pennsylvania already has the second highest gas tax in the nation. The other challenge is that $380 million is part of an 80-20% match. That covers the 20% Pennsylvania matches to the 80% we get from federal government. So we're now giving up an additional $2.4 billion of federal dollars to come into the Lehigh Valley for infrastructure as well as public transportation and our airports. So those monies are going away. The challenge is that when PennDOT made this decision, they emphasized monies would first go to interstates. Well, in our region, we have one interstate, Route 78. So that's the logic used. However, with the being the fastest growing economy in the state, all of that traffic is pushing out to state roads or municipal roads. So that loss of money is going to shift the impacts to local and county government and local taxpayers.
So what should our listeners do if they want better roads?
Contact your legislator's office is always a number one thing to do, and say, I want you to know it's important to me. I want you to know that it should be on the top of your list as you're looking at your issues, because right now they are trying to figure it out. They know it's a problem. Our legislators want to work with us, but they need to know where the constituents stand.
I'd also add, and if anybody didn't hear that, contact your legislators. also contact Governor Wolf and the Secretary of PennDOT, or Transportation.
Do they listen?
Legislators or the governor?
Both.
Sure.
They listen. I worked in a legislator's office. Numbers of letters, numbers of calls from constituents matter. they really, really do. A lot of times legislators will say to their staff, okay, you know, we've got a vote going on next week. One of the things that I'm considering is what are the constituents saying? And if the staff says, we got 400 calls on this and zero on that, that really makes you think.
Yeah, and they need to also know the fact that unfortunately in Pennsylvania the transportation money is not a dedicated fund. So that gas tax along with the user fees for your registration, your license, all of those that are supposed to be paying for infrastructure and transportation don't go into a dedicated fund. So last year the legislators pulled $4 billion out of that fund to cover some state police costs. And that's a vicious cycle because we have, if our infrastructure is deteriorating and we're having to pay for state police, now they're having to travel on roads that are worse or dealing with challenges more frequently. It's a never-ending cycle. One of the things the legislators have to start thinking about is putting these monies to dedicated purposes. And I want to add something. Michelle mentioned a miles traveled fee structure. I was fortunate to jump onto a pilot program through the I-95 Coalition and put a device in my car that tracks my mileage. And it tracks a whole bunch of other stuff that tells me whether I get little stars and badges for driving safely and at the speed limit, which I'm telling all your listeners, I've got all the badges, so I'm abiding by all the rules.
You're a good driver.
I'm a good driver, says this coalition. But what I found over the 2 months I have been participating is I've only paid $7 more in miles traveled fee than I would have in gas tax. So it is not a significant differential, but what has to happen with that money is that money has to be dedicated for infrastructure maintenance and additional.
And one of the things that has been proposed by Governor Wolf and some of the legislators that's not gaining much traction that we also would like your listeners to consider is looking at our individual municipalities and how they are covered by police. Our state police are so stretched. We all know that. They work many, many hours in dangerous zones. They are now, as always, being called to local issues for those people that don't have a local or regional police department. So the question has been out there, should those townships, those areas that do not have their own police and rely on the state police for everything that you call the police for, be paying extra because they are only serviced by the state police, whereas in a township, I live in South Whitehall Township, for example, we have our own police force. I'm paying local taxes to pay for that police force. So there's a lot of discussion out there about that. Love to hear what people think. One of the negated things that have been said is, well, then I want more coverage from the state police in my community if I'm going to pay extra for it. When the question is really, shouldn't you be paying extra to begin with?
So that also gets into emergency services.
Yes.
Yes.
What does the chamber do to help us learn more about emergency services, how we pay for those, and where we might be deficient?
Well, it's a tough challenge because a lot of municipalities rely on volunteerism for their emergency services, whether it be fire, ambulance, hazardous material cleanup, et cetera. Volunteerism in many of those communities is declining significantly and quickly. And then your for-profits or your not-for-profit agencies that run ambulance, hazmat, are burdened with challenges of maintaining, back to our minimum wage conversation,
right,
maintaining salaries to keep pace with private industry and move people into those careers. So it's become quite difficult to staff successful and get response times to where they should be to respond to fire, police, and ambulance and hazardous cleanup.
It all revolves around money. And where are we going to get it?
That and volunteerism. I think we are in a different age where people don't have the time. I mean, do we ever stop working? You know, for most of us today, that phone is on you no matter what time of day. You don't leave work at 5 or 3, whatever the shift is. And so many people used to really enjoy and be able to be a part of emergency services. And today their lives just don't allow that. So the question is, who's going to be there when you call? We are having a program on October 2nd. Citronia Ambulance is going to be there, as well as a number of other services, fire, police. We want everyone to be included in the conversation. That's going to be at DeSales as a breakfast. And if people need more information, they can certainly contact me.
Or go to the website.
Or go to the website, absolutely.
Yeah, folks need to know how to get to a program that they want to see easily.
Mm-hmm.
Does it pop up easily?
Yes, LehighValleyChamber.org. And then there is a, I'm not going to know the technical name, it says events.
It's an events tab on the homepage.
Thank you.
Property tax.
Yes. Property tax. We cover, as the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber, the areas of Lehigh and Northampton County, but also Carbon and Monroe County, as well as Warren County, New Jersey. But talking about property tax focuses on the four counties in Pennsylvania right now. We hear different things. Monroe County, our members are really, really upset about property tax. They pay a lot more than we do in this area. I have never had a call from a business person saying, I need my property tax eliminated. Instead, I'm willing to pay more in the personal income tax and the sales tax. Personal income tax and sales tax increases have always been sacred to the business community, and not just for the business owner, but for their employees as well. Every time you add an increase to a sales tax, people are paying that at the grocery store. As you try to make money off of the sales tax, more and more items are being taken off of the taboo list and will be charged with sales tax. So currently there are a few different programs out there because seniors are losing their homes. And while that may not be our specific constituency, of course, we are very concerned about that. There is a legislator who wants to eliminate property taxes and has a piece of legislation out right now where he would tax retirement income. And that is very controversial. It would not include Social Security. He would not tax that, but he would tax retirement income and also increase some of the personal income tax, PIT, and the sales tax. So we actually are most concerned about keeping the personal income tax and the sales tax the same, leave them alone so that we can increase people's spending, not decrease.
Yeah, it's a challenging conversation because it's, property taxes are a necessary evil, but the other side of that is expenditure. Our legislature and our local governments have to keep an eye on expenditures, whether it be at the school level or at the municipal expenses level. So you got to look at the offset, too.
I think it's common for people to lose track of the fact that the taxes that they pay are investments in their community. And how the money is spent becomes very controversial. And your jobs as keepers of public policy for the Lehigh Valley are very, very important. We just have about a minute left here. Is there anything you'd like to leave the listeners with?
I would. Michelle mentioned it quickly there about volunteerism. You know, one of the things I encourage listeners to do, on whether it's these subjects we cover today or any subject, is get involved in your community. Go to your local municipal meetings, talk with the folks there, see your borough or township staff, your state and federal legislators, and stay in touch. Know what's going on. Give them your input. As you talk more, it does matter, and they need to hear it because they've got so much going on in their lives and their responsibilities that they can't fully understand the impacts without your input.
This is important stuff.
As the sixth largest chamber in the entire country, we believe we're leaders. Our president and CEO, Tony Iannelli, says it best. We are not just a chamber of business. We are a chamber of business and communities. Communities matter in everything we do, and we all need to work together.
Thank you very much for this very informative session today. It's been a lot of fun, and it's really opened my eyes to a lot of issues that we face here in the Lehigh Valley. You are listening to On Every Main Street, and I am Greg Caponia on WDIY.